a grace sufficient environment. That means an environment where you can access the favor of God. The favor of God comes in strength, the favor of God comes in health, comes in mental capacity, comes in wealth. The favor of God comes in ability, comes in influential relationships. The favor of God comes in promotion. So there are ways you can access the favor of God because God lives in you. God is in the temple that you are. And that means that wherever you are, you can access the favor of God if you know how to craft. Everyone say craft. Craft the environment. The environment can become grace sufficient, but you have to be able to do a couple of things. We looked at the life of Mary and Martha, the brother of Lazarus, the sisters of Lazarus, how they called on Jesus at a time of crisis. The brother had passed away. But how they crafted an environment as a family. We looked at it as a natural biological family. How they were able to bring the power of God. Jesus would come 4 days later, which means the death was sealed, it was certain. But he came into an environment that was so rich of faith, doctrine, because you'll see Martha had a conversation with Jesus and grab time, we'll go into that. She had a very doctrinal conversation with him about the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. That's where he revealed himself as the resurrection. Mary positioned herself at the feet of Jesus, the same Mary who broke the alabaster box, which means there was doctrine, there was also sacrifice there. When Jesus came into the environment, it wasn't hard for him to do impossible things. Listen carefully, your house, your family, your life can become an environment where it won't be hard for supernatural things to manifest. But you've got to know, firstly, there were two sisters in agreement. You've got to know how to be in agreement with each other. You've got to know how to prepare yourself, how to function from that place. But also, when God visits, anything you ask, he can even go beyond the limitations of the natural. We've been looking at that consistently. Then we went to Psalms 133. We looked at how when brethren dwell together, there the Lord commands the blessing. And we spoke about how brethren means husband and wife, because you're all brothers in the Lord. We're all brothers in the Lord. It means family, parents and children. It means siblings. It means us as a household. It can mean those who are believers. That if you dwell together in the spirit of what we call oneness, God commands blessings. The blessing is life forevermore. That means eternal life, but it means the God kind of life. Your home can be so full with life that everyone who enters it receives impartations of it. Now, you are the temple. Every location you go into can receive impartations of the God kind of life through you. That means wisdom will come in. Wisdom that is from above. The wisdom that is able to solve problems. Grace in comfort. That means even the weakest one can be enabled. You see, if you only think of it in terms of your own life, you're not going to be very, very viable for the economy of God. Last week I shared with you about the economy, what economy means. Anyone remembers? What does the word economy mean? I'll give you three words. Production, distribution, consumption. Now, in God's economy, he wants a people that are productive. Not hard to be productive. Why? Jesus is the vine. You are the branches. If you stay connected to Christ, the automatic thing that will take place in your life is you will be fruitful. Yes. Automatic. So if you are in church and you are not fruitful, go and look at your connection. Okay? Because God is not a liar. What you mustn't do is you mustn't be overtaken. Yeah? You must go check your connection. Listen, if the Bible says in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Anyone that is in me bears fruit. He bears fruit, fruit that remains, fruit, much fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that lasts. That means in every year, in every season, your productivity should be increasing. Come on, say amen. Amen. Right? Christ is not decreasing. He's seated. He enables you, but he releases what the substance of himself, which is grace, which is his spirit, according to the measure of your connection. Yeah? According to the measure of your connection. Now what you see in the power way on and off is that there's something that's not able to contain the load. If you can't contain the load, it'll keep tripping. You'll miss out on your productivity. Okay? So make sure that your connection is strong. What connection it is you're in covenant with God. How do you know you're in covenant with God? You're in covenant with His Word, number one. That means you don't just read the Bible, you read the Bible and pray, you study the word, you meditate in it. Then you're in covenant with his body, which is the church. You're not just visiting, you're in covenant. That means you're connected to so deeply that the spirit of intercession always consumes you. You heard this morning, right? That you are always interceding on behalf of the body. Then you're in covenant with his sent one. That is a very important aspect. We call it the Father-Son wineskin. But when you recognize the grace of Father in one sent to you, you must know how to stay connected. We looked at all of those things, and then we came to the place where the oil on the head brings the spirit, the headship of God. We looked at headship in terms of Aaron. Then we looked at headship in terms of Christ. And we started with that about Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because oil represents the Holy Spirit, the anointing that is upon you. He says, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel or the good news to the poor. And last week we defined who the poor was through English language, through Hebrew, and through Greek. And we looked at the poor in the Greek language as someone who is a beggar, someone who is reduced to beggary, destitute of wealth, destitute of influence, destitute of position, destitute of honor. That means they don't have wealth, they don't have influence, they don't have position, they don't have honor. That's what the poor. And the lowly, the afflicted, those who are afflicted in their bodies, those who are afflicted in their mind, those who are destitute of virtues and eternal riches, the helpless, the powerless, the needy, those who are lacking in anything. So you see, the Greek language will say word like poor, but it will have several facets to it, covering many things. So you have to work out whether you are poor. Poor in body, poor in mind, poor in spirit, poor in relationships, poor in financial management, poor in administration, poor in understanding. That you don't have understanding. You sit in church, the service goes on, but your life does not change. Because the word of God is very powerful. So you have to ask yourself, are you poor or are you rich? Ask yourself, am I poor or am I rich? Yeah, talk to yourself. I know you're doing this at all. I know what I am. Now, I gave you a couple of things. We started last week with what poverty means. And I said, there is a yoke of poverty that must be broken. It's a yoke of bondage. What we settled in our mind is that you must cancel in your mind that poverty is God's will for his people. Okay, you must cancel that. If you don't want to cancel, no problems. But it is not God's will that his people should be poor. He did not save you to be poor. He saved you to be wealthy, to be prosperous. Everybody say prosperous. So you must believe that. You believe that? When must you be prosperous? Tomorrow? Next week? Now. You must believe it for the now. You can have a long-term plan on the earth, but in the heavens, you're already positioned in him. You are rich in him. You've already been paid, but you have to now seize it, lay hold of it. So we said that prosperity is the plan for God. How do we know this? Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Everyone say, power to get wealth.
Power to get wealth.
So you must keep remembering God. What happens is, as you get into work, as you get into a job, you forget the Lord. The Bible starts, the verse starts, and you shall remember the Lord. When people get weighed down with work, weighed down with the pressures of work, they forget that God gives them power to get wealth. So the work becomes a poverty environment. Listen to me carefully, right? Because you don't remember the Lord in your work. Because the pressures of work, the demands of work will make you forget God. But you shall remember the Lord, because it is he who gives you power to get wealth. So God doesn't give you wealth, he gives you power. Now, how you manage that power, how you steward that power is very important. Power must be controlled, like we are seeing in this environment. If you don't have the right regulators, if you don't have the right power source, if you have all of the wrong fuses, you can keep tripping. But today, it will be very prophetic in nature. You better know this. You live in darkness while the power is still flowing around you. Aircon is still working, no lights. Okay? That simply means that the power is there, but you have no illumination of it. You have no understanding of it. It's bypassing you. And all because you may be subject to what we call You have the power of God, but you don't know what it is for and you're not using it. Okay? And you have to know that there is more in God. Tell your neighbor, more in God.
More in God.
You must also, it is a very good desire to want more.
Yes?
Yes? Yes. It's a good desire. You mustn't think it evil. If you don't want more, I can take your more. You must always want more because we have not attained perfection. We have not come to the stature of God. So in your heart, every time you say, Lord, thank you, but there's more. There's more. There's more. With more is going to come more responsibility. With more is going to come more work. But He gives you power, so you already got enough of power. You're just not using it wisely. Oh, okay. Right? When you ask for more, it's going to require more of you. Because greater scopes require more. But you have to know that He gave you power to get wealth. And we said, we dealt with all of that. And then we looked at how you can inflict a curse upon your own life. Listen carefully to me. I shared this last week and I want to reiterate this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can bring a curse on your life by saying the wrong things. In an apostolic season, we're learning about how you shall declare a thing and it shall come to pass. It means your tongue is so powerful. You can say, I don't know why I'm suffering, and expose yourself to suffering for a prolonged period. Or you can say, thank you, Lord, that I am suffering. You say, oh, but Pastor, how are you going to thank God for suffering? No, He's suffering. Your suffering is not alone. Christ is with you. Now, what you want is, you want Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christ is with you. What you want is the whole church to be with you. Christ is with you. What you want is your neighbors to be with you. Christ is with you. What you want is your whole family to be with you. Christ is with you. What you must know is that God is with you in every part of it. So you must make sure you don't inflict curses upon yourself. How do people do this? I've done many marriage counseling. They say, I don't know why I married you. Bad luck in my life. No, the lights are off. Power is there, but you can't see. God don't give offbeat things. God is busy sorting you out. He gives you the power. Yeah? Okay, I got it. I know it will go quite from time to time, but I know that today is going to be a day you must change your own trajectory. God wants you to be prosperous. Don't ever doubt that. You must know how not to curse yourself. Remember Jephthah, how he cursed himself. He went into battle, God gave him victory. He said to God, whatever comes out first from my house, I'll give it to you. His daughter came out first. She got so happy to see her father, came out, as she ran to him, his heart was overwhelmed with sorrow. Because God didn't ask him to make that vow, he made it on his own. Be careful, you're not saying, God, if you bless me, I'll do this. And then the day God blesses you, you don't do anything. You lose the very thing that you love. That's what the Bible says, be careful when you come in. God is not moved by emotions. God is moved by the fact that you are His son. You don't have to impress Him. He'll tell you what you have to do. That's what the Bible says. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You say, no, Pastor, when God gives me a job, I promise you I'm going to give this, I'm going to do that. Ooh, they call that a udram call. Yeah? Yeah. Blower. Someone who talks before they can engage. You lose your blessing too early. You've got to know that when God blesses you, you can't impress God. The thing that impresses God is if you listen to what He says.
Yes.
He's not impressing you saying, oh, don't worry, I will take care of the poor, I will give the needy. No, God is not impressed by that. God wants to see if when He blesses you, can you still be obedient? Because the thing that most people lose when they get wealthier is obedience. Why? They're going out to eat. When Black Friday, they started from midnight. The moment that they hit 00, they took our message very seriously. The one prayer point again, that they praise Him in the midnight. They rise up at midnight and praise Him. So they started praising God. The moment they don't know that that's not what we want. No, when God brings in more, He says, see, oh, God provided. He knew I wanted to get a new Nike Air Force. He just knew it. See how He said it? It came like in the air. No. God wants to know how obedient. Because you have a desire. But is your desire subject to His voice? That's what it is. It's hard. Sometimes my children will come to me and say, "Dad, but you got money." I said, "Yeah, but it's not money. It's God's money. I'm waiting for Him to give me direction. If He doesn't give me direction, then it's okay. But if he gives me direction, I have to wait, because sometimes it takes 3 months before He tells me what it's for." So you gotta know that God is looking for obedience. Everyone say obedience.
Obedience.
How do you know that God didn't cut? He doesn't want you to be cursed. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So, what is the solution for the poor? What is the solution for the poor? Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." How many of you are poor today? Anyone? All of you rich? Okay. Oh, very good. So, let me settle in your mind. Does God really want His people to be prosperous? Is this God's intention? Because maybe some people will tell you, you hear about a materialistic gospel. You hear about people saying, "Oh, the church is only wants money, only wants money." No, no. The world also wants money. Everybody wants money. But you have to hear that God wants you to be prosperous. We dealt with the first verse, Deuteronomy 8:18. And it is the Lord who gives you the power to get wealth. The next one is Psalms 35 verse 27. "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant." So God not just gives you power to get wealth, but He takes great pleasure when you are prosperous. That means it makes God happy when you are prosperous. Why? You're taking the power and you're using it effectively. Are you with me? You heard the verse we did first? He gives you power to do what? Get well. When you get well, it pleases God. Why? Because you took the power and you stewarded it well. So He gave you power, you took the power, you managed your life. Get up at 5 o'clock, pray to God, get ready for work, go and have a bath, get ready. I'm only starting at 8 o'clock, but I got up at 5 because I took my power and I stewarded it. I connected to my power source. Oh, 5 o'clock, Pastor, so early. I'm only starting at 8 o'clock. Why I can't get up 7 o'clock? That's because you deny your power source. And very soon, the power you got, the privilege you got to be in charge, will mean someone else will be over you. I've seen this too many times in church, in the family of God, that they start off with so many benefits, and then suddenly they disconnect from the power source. They become the one who is overpowered.
Amen. That's right.
Listen to me carefully, right? Because they say, "My body is tired." No, He gives you power. Everyone say power.
Power.
Power to get up. Is there power to get up?
Power.
Power to go to sleep at the night time. Power not to say, "This movie is so nice until 12 o'clock and then tomorrow your prayer life suffers." Listen, it's part of an apostolic culture. Maybe we don't emphasize prayer the way we do, but it is part of an apostolic culture.
Yes.
If you don't know the vitality of and the importance of prayer in your life, you'll keep going, starting off at the top, someone else will come and take your place. Because He gives you power to get wealth, but you must know how to execute the power. Don't let the power be wasted on your own desires. He'll give you your own desires, Lord, you're asking. But you must connect and know how to manage the power. So it is God's pleasure, because He gets pleased out of it. You know that pleasure is that which pleases God. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how do you work that out? Faith is taking the power that God gives you and executing it. Using it, working it. Because you believe that God gave you power, and if you work with that power, you work with all of your heart, it will bring you to a position of wealth. See, faith, "Oh God, I'm believing you for 1 million, I'm believing you for 1 million, I'm believing 1 million coming in my bank, I'm calling 1 million, I'm calling 1 million. You can call till Jesus comes. No, He gives you power to take that, and by faith you go into the working field, and you start off at the bottom like Joseph. And every day you walk in, "Thank you, Lord, that you gave me power to come into this place to get wealth." And while you're doing this, every day that you're managing it and you're learning how to steward it, God starts to give you more power. Then what happens? You get a sudden increase It is sudden promotion. What's it for? Power to get wealth. Why? Because wealth is going to give you an economy. And what is the economy going to determine? Productivity, distribution, consumption. So you don't consume to get power. You got power to know how to distribute and then consume. Yeah? Okay, come on, say amen.
Amen.
Prosperity. God gave you power. Everyone say power.
Power.
Those of you who are sick, say power.
Power.
Those of you who are struggling under a certain boss, say power.
Power.
Don't be weak.
Yes.
Tap into the power that God gave you. Oh, I want to leave this job, Pastor. People don't appreciate me. Oh. Welcome to the real world. Grow up. Don't be a child and sit, put a dummy in your mouth. You got power. Power means you have to know how to keep using it to execute what you have to. If you don't know how to use it, you can't ask for prosperity. You're going to be praying for your parents to die. You must know how to work. Tell your neighbor, work. Come on, tell your neighbor, work.
Work
hard. You know the people say, holiday is coming, I'm going to sleep from 12 o'clock. Yeah? Sleep nicely. Nicely. Oh, if you're not sleeping nicely every day, I don't know which God you serve. I'm sorry, you're probably not tapping into the power. He gives you power to get wealth, but he gives you power to sleep. I can tell you he doesn't. You can sleep on 3 hours of sleep, get up and function a whole day properly. Because you learn, my source is not my sleep. My source is the power. You know what we've done? As those who started, we've given ourselves naturalized thinking. And you know what you've done? You've become poor. Become poor because you're sleeping so long, you're still producing nothing. Now you're going to know that while you are young, you've got energy burst. You use it to invest because you believe His word. You run at it and run hard. Sometimes you're going to sleep 3 hours. Sometimes you're going to sleep 2 hours. But you know, Lord, you give me power to get wealth. If I'm not seeing the wealth, I'm going to take that power and I have to show me, Lord, show me how to execute it right.
Yeah.
Don't get up. Whether I go or I don't go, at least I'm going to get my salary end of the month. Yeah. You know, there's people like that who function like that. What are you doing with your power? What is power? Power is resource. What is power? Power is influence. Power is your mouth. You have the death and life are where? In the power of you walking past the house. You know, back in the days, they taught us in the charismatic, you name it and claim it. Now you don't have to name and claim nothing. You have to have the declaration in your mouth. Lord, you said that you ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. Oh, you said, ask. So I can ask. So while you're walking, Lord, one day I want to be manager. How about next week?
Amen.
And talk to God. Yes. Why? You have power, but that power is not being transmitted into your thoughts and into your words.
Amen.
So you're still stuck, still not prosperous, still waiting for Christmas and hoping someone will buy you a gift. No, Christmas must be your time to buy gifts.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, I don't wait here. Oh, I wonder what people are going to buy me this Christmas.
Yeah.
No, that's not prosperous people.
Yeah.
That's poor people.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not. Oh, I can't wait. My mother told me she should buy me this. My father told me. No, why you say, Lord, you give me power to give birth. Let me buy.
Yes.
You see, you can make amen for everything else, but you're not prosperous. Poor people.
Yeah.
What do you think, Nanu? To change this. So, God has pleasure in your prosperity. The more prosperous you get, the more pleasure He is. What kind of God is this? What kind of God that He just delights in seeing you prosperous? You don't get jealous? No, He gets happy. He gives you some pancera. The Bible says, Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. What is faith? Faith is risk. Huh? What you get power for? Power to take risks. Huh? You say, oh, but Pastor, I don't have the backing. You think people have backing, they have to take a risk.
Yes.
You talk to anyone, you have to take a risk. I had to take a risk of leaving my job as a policeman and stepping into ministry. Took a risk because He gave me power to get well. When you spoke to me, I was earning as a policeman, I was earning very well, I was doing very good. Anybody irritated me, I can put them in jail. Powerful position, he gave me power. But when I heard the voice, I had to take the risk.
Amen.
Ask my parents, ask my people at work. The sergeant came to me, "You sure, son? Why don't you study and still be a policeman?" Because I was a good policeman. Good as in integrous, righteous.
Amen.
And a belief system. Why don't you do this? You can come and you can be what they call that, the chaplain here in the police office. That's not what I heard God say.
Yeah.
I have to take a risk. See, with power, you got to know how to put faith with it. You got to know how the faith activates the power. It's there, but you got to show God that you believe Him and trust Him. Launch into it. Peter had to do that. The centurion had to do that. You have to know that there's a requirement of you. The next thing, how else do you know God is happy with prosperity? Psalm 68 verse 6, placement. God sets the solitary in families and He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. So first one, He gives you power. Second one, He has pleasure. Third one, He places you. He places you where? In family. What is God's intention? To bring out those who are bound into prosperity. God's intention when He sets you in a spiritual family is to make you prosperous. But what do you use your power for in that family? Do you use your power to serve? Do you use your power to love? Do you use your power to encourage? Do you use your power to be a blessing? Because you can come into the family and want everyone to use their power for you. Are you with me? This is the scene in the life of Joseph, David. You look at it. They came in and whatever power they had, Daniel served in Babylon in one of the most excellent states. He used his power to serve. As a result, he became very wealthy. David used his power to serve in Saul's court. Joseph used his power to serve in Potiphar's house. What happened? Oh, he became very prosperous. But God set him in a family. Joseph shifted from his father's house to Potiphar's house. He set him in a family. Yeah? Oh, you're not agreeing. Shifted David from his father's house into Saul's house. Family. Daniel was shifted from Jerusalem into Babylon. Family. You see, if you're a family person, anywhere you go, you see people as family. And what you bring with you is the spirit of family. Why? Sets the solitary in family to bring out those who are bound into prosperity. Why does God settle you in any family? His intention is prosperity. Placement. Everyone say placement.
Placement.
So your job, do you see it as a family? The environment you, or do you see it as a location where you are meant to trade? Why? How He places you, because the job you got it, God placed you there. Think family. What is family for us? Easy? Not like how you're thinking naturally. Family is father, son. Is that right? That's what family is. In this apostolic season, it's father, son. So what are you? You in the household, you are a son. When you go out, what are you? Having the grace of father. That's what you're doing. When you think like that, your placement is family. Now you're bringing grace of father into the environment. What you are doing is you're bringing the grace so that sons could be born. Now, it would be like Abraham, who has Lot. But then Isaac will be born. You have to still know how to treat the Lord well. Know how to rescue the Lord. But what will happen is Isaac will be born. Placement. Everyone say placement. God is interested. He places you in locations, in the jobs you're in the environments you're in, to make you prosperous. Have a new perspective of the place you work in. Are you with me? Everyone's complaining, trusting God for a new job. I just gave you away your prosperity life. Why? Prosperity doesn't come from a location. It comes from Him.
Yes.
Joseph showed us that. Daniel showed us that. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego showed us that. Scriptures are full of people who are out of place are very prosperous. Next thing. Psalms 118 verse 25 to 26. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. So how does this God want to see you prosperous? He sends you a person And when you recognize the person that carries grace, when you recognize the person that carries anointing, you say, blessed is he. Then you can access prosperity. See how nice it is? Recognize the person. When you say, blessed is he, you can access
prosperity.
He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you. He said, see now, because you have rejected, your house lies to you desolate. See, when God sets a person, we call them a segment, call them a spiritual power, call them a grace man. When He sets someone in your way, and you don't say, blessed is He. Now, you say, but Pastor, in my heart I'm saying, blessed is He. No, listen. When you say, blessed is He, you say, here's my blessing coming. Because you see someone that has grace for you. Someone that has a word for you. He says, you will not see until you say. Everyone say, say. Does say mean think? The same thing? What does say mean?
Say.
Say you. Say you. Oh, I know that song. Don't be spiritual people. If you don't say blessed, the word blessed means to say happy. It means to say great. But the word blessed means to kneel and bow. That means to acknowledge that there's a higher. That's all. Let's acknowledge. How do you know this is true? Abraham came from the battle. He defeated the kings. He came and rescued God when Melchizedek appeared. Oh, he knew how to say, blessed, he recognized one creator. Next thing. Psalms 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper, will love you. Peace within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. So prayer is the next thing for prosperity. You must pray for prosperity. Jerusalem is the holy city, is the temple of God, is the configuration of the church. You can pray for prosperity. How many of you wake up every day and pray for prosperity? You must pray for it. Does it ask anything in my name, believe me? You shall receive it. Prosperity is a good thing because if you're a son of God, you got an economy, you know that prosperity in your hand is going to change the world.
Yes.
Not your world, going to change the world.
Yes.
So you can ask for it because he said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the prosperity of Jerusalem. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 tells you, you are the Jerusalem of God.
Yes.
The church is the Jerusalem of God. You are the city of peace. You are the city of truth. So you must keep praying that the church will become prosperous. Do you want someone to pray for you to be prosperous? Do you want anyone? Oh, you want someone to pray for you to be prosperous?
Yeah.
Yes, pray for yourself. Pray. Yeah. Don't stop praying. Don't stop asking.
Yes.
Oh, I have to learn that. Because I believe that preaching in church, God will do this and God will do that. No, God's in charge, but He gives you power. He gives you wisdom. He gives you understanding. He gives you access to a person. He sets you in a place. And then he says, now pray for him. So you don't receive because you don't ask. Proverbs 28:25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. Prosperity is not accidental. Prosperity is seen in how you trust. But there's one more I want to deal with this morning, which is not too bad, but it's everything you know. Prosperity comes from His presence. Prosperity comes from His presence. Now, there is the omnipresence of God, which means God is everywhere because He contains everything. But then there is the manifest presence of God, where God visits. And then you have bouts and experiences of prosperity. Obed-Edom had this experience. Remember when David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And then when Uzzah and Ahio, the brothers, got in the way of the Ark. And Uzzah died. And then Ahio said, Ahio. And then David became fearful. And he sent the Ark away. And Obed-Edom took it to his house. And when the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the manifest presence of God, was in the house of Obed-Edom, the Bible says, in 3 months he became so prosperous that the king took notice of him. You see, you can pray, You can be placed in a location. But there's one guarantee. The Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered in everything. Now you may have the indwelling presence of God, but you need the manifestation of his presence everywhere you go, because it unlocks wealth. It unlocks prosperity. Now if you had to ask somebody, hey, what does that mean now? Because, you know, Pastor, you've got the Spirit in us, yes. But the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, and I want to show you how this happens, right? In the book of Genesis, poverty came to Adam and Eve when they partook of something that they were not supposed to partake. Yeah? That means the presence of the Lord is connected to instruction. Everyone say instruction.
Instruction.
That means whatever God is asking you to do, if you function in that, it causes his presence to manifest with what we call proceeding truth. So how does someone break through the limitations of the poverty in their life? You want to know what God is saying. Now, Adam and Eve were in the garden. Eve was busy with the serpent. The serpent was talking to her. And she had a choice to listen to a voice that was not familiar. That means the voice of a created thing like her. Or she had the opportunity to listen to the voice of the Creator. Are you with me? And this is where lots of people go off. In the time of crisis, in the time of choices, they listen to created things rather than to the Creator. What was the consequences? Out of the garden and toil. Listen carefully. The Bible says to Adam, you will eat the sweat of your brow. See, you can go into business, you can go into work, you can do what you have, you can really employ your tactics, and you can use your mind, but you'll have to work very hard. What you need, what I need, is the manifest presence of God, so that every location we walk into is filled with the blessings of God. Now, is this true? Yeah, it's very true. You must believe me, right? You believe me? Yeah, okay. Well, tell your neighbor, I made a covenant. Yeah, I didn't forget it. Just a couple of minutes ago, you made a covenant. Don't break the covenant, right? You won't be blessed. Adam was one man, set in the garden. He had access to four rooms. He had access to every tree in the garden. He had access to all of the wealth, all of the gold, beryllium, all of those stones there. For one man, God created this garden. What God was showing right at the very beginning. Image and likeness lives in abundance and has access to more than enough. How could God, you're so unfair, how could he give four rivers for one man? How could he give him access to all of the tree? He took one man and set him there and said, this is the way image and likeness is meant to live. So how do you access prosperity? You have to know how to come into image and likeness. This is why we give you doctrine. Because doctrine is about readjusting your mind. The way you think on the earth, how shall I should respond, how I should function. You can function like that, but listen, what is God's intention? Let's start with the Genesis account. God wants to give you four rivers. One of the meanings of the river is acceleration. One of the meanings means fruitful. God wants you to live in a dimension when you walk with him, when you're in his manifest presence. He wants you to live in everything in your life as acceleration. Yes. People take 1 year to get their blessings. You do it in 3 weeks. How do you believe that? Yeah. No, you have to believe the natural ways. No, you have to know that image and likeness, it commands his presence. Yeah. But what was the key thing there? God could walk with Adam. Could walk with. That means wherever Adam went, God was.
Yes.
He didn't have to see him. As long as Adam lived by the command, God went where Adam went. Are you with me? Oh, come on. You gotta leave here today knowing that God's desire for you is prosperity.
Yes.
I don't care what the world says.
Yes.
If you don't want to believe it, that's up to you. I can tell you it took us and it transformed our lives.
Yes.
But I want more.
Yes.
No, I want more. No, I don't even think we stretched the surface yet. What did you get?
Yeah.
No, we haven't stretched. What do you think, Alicia? Stretch the surface. No. We serve a, I'm going to sing that song one Sunday. We said, we have a great, big, wonderful God. Yeah? We have a great, big, wonderful God. If you don't know that your God is great and big and wonderful, you will measure your God based on your circumstances.
Yes. Yeah.
No, God can give you anything. Image and likeness has no desires, no glory for self. There's always representation. So God can give you anything. But whose image are you representing? Whose image is on your money? Whose image is on your money? House? Car? Your money belongs to all of them, or does it have the image of Christ? Whose image is on it? We know Mandela's face is on the nose. But whose image? When it is in your hand, it shall have the image of the Father. What does that mean? You position yourself as a son to build whatever he asks you to build. Build whatever he asks you. Why? This is how he gives you power to access. Now this is a season. You're going to register this in your mind. This is a season of my prosperity. Yeah. We're hearing it all sides round. This is a season of prosperity. So, I want to talk to you about the gospel. I'm not going to talk to you today about the gospel because he began to preach the gospel. I'll talk to you about that next week when we meet. I want to talk to you when we're there. We have a message. Why are you laughing? How? Jesus went on the mountainside, called his people to them. And after he taught them for 3 days, he gave them bread. No. I don't think this is going to happen. I've been giving for free for too long. I'm changing the strategy. So, how do you enter into prosperity? Simple ways. I will give you the part of the gospel, but today I'm going to give you from the Old Testament. How do you enter into your prosperity? Our famous text, Dr. Coverdale is using it now, is Psalms 1. Come on, let's say it. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man. What's the first part that says? Blessed is the man. So, this thing automatically tells you that the result of whatever is going to come is going to be blessing.
Amen.
Right? Blessing is prosperity. Blessing is favor. So, there's a power that's going to be given to you for you to walk into this. What's the first part? Blessed is the man who does not
walk in the counsel of the ungodly.
Right. So, what does that mean? That every bit of information, counsel, advice you get comes from God.
Yes.
That's it, right? Guess what that's going to mean? If God is giving you advice, God is giving you direction, automatically God will bless you.
Amen.
Why? Obedience equals? That's all. Simple, he's going to speak to you, walk in the counsel of godly counsel. You are going to be blessed. Are you ready to start getting blessed?
Yeah.
Very important. Next part. Stand in the way of sinners. You must know how you can stand, because the way of sinners, standing is about putting on the whole armor of God. When you put on the whole armor of God, you won't be missing the mark. You have your mind, your heart, you have your hands, your legs, everything covered. Next thing. Sitting the seat of the scornful. Now, the scornful is a mocker. Not bocker, mocker. What is it about a mocker? And a mocker is someone who makes fun. Someone who jeers. Do you know that when you see the word of God, and you know the word of God, but you don't practice the word of God, you become a mocker. Because you look at the truth and you treat it as if it's a joke. That means God spoke to you today. You know what you have to do. But you mock at it and say, no, it must be for someone else. Lord had the problem with his son-in-laws. When he spoke to them, it To them, they thought that he was joking. So you sit in the environment and then you think, well, God is joking. It can't be serious. And you go into the sea. You know what the sea is? A resting place. You won't be moved from your position. You hear God's word, but it does not move. You go back home, you do the same thing. Behave the same way. Swear the same way. Language the same. That means you've started to mock God. You hear me? Listen, to hear the gospel, to hear the truth, and to receive it is the greatest gift we have. But to not do anything about it is to enter the seat of the mocker. Next thing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So your blessing doesn't just come if you don't sit, stand, and walk, sit, walk, stand, or sit. But it also comes in what you delight in. So you just don't know if I don't walk, if I don't stand, if I don't sit. You know, that's the first part. When you don't do those things, there's something you must do. The thing you must do is you must delight in his. What? In his law. What is the law of God? That means, what is God requiring of you right now? Let me put law in a very simple word, righteousness. That's the law of God. God wants you to conform to what his eternal purpose is. So how are you going to, listen, when you start doing these things, you're automatically going to walk into blessing. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it happens. Simply because you remove some things, you replace it with something. So you delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. Everybody say meditates. So you take the law, the first part is you delight in his law. That means every time you see the word, you get happy. Yeah? Every time you hear the word, you get happy. That means it's your delight, you're excited. It's like going to other delights. Yeah. It's like you saw this fresh cake that you want, this nice food. That means every time you go to the word, it's a delight for you. There's an attitudinal change there. That's how you start to get blessed, because if you just do the word because you want to be blessed, or that you don't realize that the word is a blessing to you, you'll miss the blessing. So he delights in the law. How do you know he delights in the law of the Lord? In the law he meditates. How long? Not 5 minutes. Not 10 minutes. Not 1 hour. How long? Day and night. You say, but pastor, so much things we have to do. How are you going to meditate on the word? No, you can take one scripture, the whole day you can be mulling on it. Whole day, while you're talking, while you're at work, you take one of the attributes of God. God is all powerful. I said it so loud when pastor asked, but when he asked me for the verse, I didn't know anything. So let me go and find out what the verse committed to. And in the law, you meditate. That means now you're ruminating. What it's doing is zetting your subconscious. It's removing negative thoughts because you're bringing in the attribute of God. Your God is starting to fill your mind. Automatically, there's a shift of your thinking patterns. You see, there's busyness to every part of our day. But when you plot, you have the power. And the power is that I will decide that today I will take one verse. I'll write it down on a piece of paper. I'll have it somewhere on my phone. It will be highlighted. And every couple of minutes when I have a chance, I'll open it. I'll look at it. I'll think about it. What are you wanting me to know through this verse? That's what meditation is. I'm thinking about it. So one verse. I don't have to think about 10 verses. One verse. One attribute. And you keep putting it. What the Bible says. You meditate in it day and night. Next part. He shall be like what? Be like a tree planted by what? Streams of water. Think of Adam's four rivers. The waters there are, I forget all of the meaning, but I know one is acceleration. One is rapidity. That means it comes quickly. The other is fruitfulness. And you have this, you shall be planted by just things happening quickly in your life. Then the Bible finishes off. Whatever he does, whatever. But it simply comes with, don't do this, but do this. So, you know what to do now?
Amen.
You know what that means? By next week, prosperity is going to start visiting you.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
I'm telling you, it will start happening.
Amen.
But you must now go and work out. Just Psalms 1. What I've got to do now? This week, one verse. Take the whole family. Like, here's the verse. And I make it easy for you. I give you prayer points every week. It's the same verse every day. For those of you who don't read the prayer points, it's actually the same verse again.
Yes. Yeah.
That means by the time you read it on the sixth day, which is the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, on the seventh day you let it rest. Amen. Means you let it to your mind. You ruminate, meditate, ponder, you go out to work. Because you don't have to write it on a piece of paper, you go out to your phone, you've got the group chat there, you just go and check the text. Read on it, meditate on it. What's happening? You've become the place now where the word invites the manifest presence of God. Because you're thinking on it, you're meditating on it, suddenly He is there. And what is He there for? He is there to bless you. Why? It pleases Him when you are prosperous.
Yes,
amen.
Yeah.
That's all. God is, you're thinking now. He's saying, hey, look at this child of mine. So much of effort. Just wanting to think on me. Just, and He is impressed by it. And then He just shows up. And listen, God gets impressed too. He does. Because out of the busyness of your life, there's no time to think about even yourself. But then you make it your power. You take the power He has given you and you think on Him. You think on His word. And you say, Lord, I want this. Because you said, this is why you give us power. Power to get wealthy. And I want to be wealthy. I want to be prosperous. Psalms 112 verse 1 to 3. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants shall be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house.
Yeah.
That's from the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah? To be in your house, wealth and riches. Come to your house. Well, that's why you won't invite everybody to your house. Because if they know, they'll think it's for free. But your house, listen, everyone has access to it. Yeah? Everyone. But what's the requirement? The man who fears the Lord. Walks in reverence. How do you know that someone fears the Lord? Anyone give me as we close? Anyone? How do you know? The next part of the verse says it. He delights greatly in His commands. The one who fears is governed by the commandments of God. What does that bring to you? It brings a prosperity. Wealth and riches. Is that we're entering December? We've entered December. Today is the first of December. And I said to you, Jesus said the first, He said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The intention of God is that when the gospel comes to you, poverty will be a thing of the past. Now you can take that and you can decide what you want. You see, there's a way we measure a lot of things. And I'll talk to you as a father, as a pastor. We have many things in our church, many activities, many functions. I know poverty people can't give up. I know that. So my pastor, we got a lot of needs. Yeah, but he gives you power. We also have needs. But there's a spirit of stinginess that governs the people. But we don't have enough for ourselves. Economy, production, distribution, consumption. The economy of God, and He watches over. Because you have an opportunity to let money flow. And it is within the body. Amen? I pray today that you will change your dynamics, that you will be prosperous, that this will not be a sad season for you.
Yes.
That you will not be looking for people to give you hampers,
yes,
someone to buy you something, someone to take you somewhere.
Yes.
That you will be the blessing.
Yes.
Listen, and this is not speaking down to you. Listen to me, because we started in a place where we started in that classroom where it was very tough for everyone.
Yes.
But 10 years on, the world has changed our life.
Amen.
We can tell you that the world changes things. So what you have to do is, you have to ask yourself, if everyone has access to the same power, same Holy Spirit, same word, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Because God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. It makes Him very happy because He said, look at my son. And I said, you see that man? He goes to church and says, I can't be, must be doing something wrong. Must be doing a backdoor job, must be a backhand. You know, but God stands there, how he stood for Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Without all of that other trial that we don't want that come. Just that, have you considered my servant Job? Stop, Jesus. Come on. But that's what God does. He looks at me. I pray today that you and I, this is my, let me tell you, I'm preaching nothing else till New Year. I'm preaching prosperity. I know it's the now word of God. I also know it's a season for us to grow into another level. So there's nothing else you can do. I want you to train your mind to think about it. Because from what we've said is, what you understand is that this is not God's intention for you is prosperity. God's intention for you is blessing. God wants you to occupy. God wants you to possess. But you want to know that there are principles that get you to that place. All can be sitting in the same place. 160, 34. And you and I can determine what we want. Amen?